It is 9:02 on 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com anywhere. I'm Tony Savino. Thursday morning means it's time for another edition of Spotlight on Medicine. Topic this morning is bladder cancer. Get the facts. My guest is Daniel Petrylak, medical oncologist, Smilo Cancer Hospital Care Center in Greenwich, where he is the chief. And that's located at 77 Lafayette Place in Greenwich. The number, 877-925-3637. And Dr. Petrylak went to Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine, residency at Bronx Municipal Hospital, fellowship at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, professor of medicine and urology, Yale School of Medicine. Dr. Petrylak, good morning. Welcome. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing okay. Start briefly. Tell us a little bit about your specialty and your chief of genitourinary oncology, if you can pronounce that, at Yale Medical Cancer Center. Tell us all about that.
Well, genital urinary oncology is the study of tumors of the urinary tract that includes prostate cancer, bladder cancer, kidney cancer, and testicular cancer. And what I do is I administer drugs, chemotherapy, hormone therapy, and I manage the patients in terms of their overall course of disease from the earliest stages to the latest stages when they've spread to other areas.
Okay, so how prevalent is bladder cancer, and are there different types of bladder cancer?
Well, bladder cancer is expected to have close to 82,000 new cases in the United States this year. In the state of Connecticut, it's going to be about 1,100. Overall, about 16,700 patients will die from metastatic bladder cancer in the United States this year. It's a disease that's more common in men than in women. There'll be 64,000 cases in men in the United States and about 20,000 cases in women in the United States this year. So there are really two types of bladder cancer when you look at how it spreads or it invades into the bladder. Bladder cancer is a tumor of the lining or the inner lining of the bladder, and there can be two types. The first is if it's on the surface of that lining. In other words, it doesn't go into the muscle. It doesn't invade into blood vessels, and it doesn't invade into the lymphatic system. That simply can be managed by scraping that tumor off and giving either chemotherapy or immune therapy in the bladder. The more dangerous type is the muscle-invasive bladder cancer, because when it goes into the muscle, it can spread. It can invade into the blood vessels. It can invade into the lymphatics, and that's the type that is lethal.
All right, so I'll talk a bit, if you could, about major risk factors and what may lead to bladder cancer.
Well, smoking is a major risk factor. We know that smokers have a much higher rate of bladder cancer than non-smokers. Chemical exposure, so this is really a tumor of the environment. I'm often told by my patients that they're surprised that smoking causes bladder cancer, but imagine that you're ingesting carcinogens through cigarette smoke, and that's filtered out by your kidneys, and then it sits in your bladder and exposes the inner lining of the bladder to these carcinogens. So it certainly makes sense that chemical exposure, and cigarette smoke are major risk factors for this disease.
All right. Well, tell us kind of the overall function of the bladder.
Well, bladder is to basically store urine, and then, of course, it's excreted out through the ureter and outside of the body. So it's basically a storage organ.
Okay, so pretty straightforward. People kind of, I think everybody kind of knows what a bladder does then, right?
Exactly.
Okay, I thought maybe it had some hidden things that we didn't know about with the bladder. All right, so let's talk about what are some of the symptoms of bladder cancer, if there are any.
Well, symptoms, the most common is blood in the urine. Any sort of blood in the urine should be considered to be abnormal and should be investigated by a physician. Also, increased urinary tract infections. That's another thing that would tend to lead to the diagnosis of bladder cancer, particularly in men. You know, a urinary tract infection is much more common in women, and there are other explanations for it. But in men, that's something that's very, very unusual, and that really does put up a red flag and does indicate that you need to investigate that further. Pelvic pain, that's another potential symptom of bladder cancer. In men, sexual dysfunction, that's potentially can also be a cause of bladder cancer, be caused by bladder cancer as well. So really any unusual aspect of the urinary tract would be an indication that the patient should be investigated for bladder cancer.
Okay. And when should people contact their primary care physician or urologist?
Well, clearly if there's blood, clearly if there's an infection, and if there's pain.
You mentioned that men, it looks like about three times likely, or three times the numbers anyway, of getting bladder cancer. Any reason why that is?
Well, it could be environmental. It could be that there's, you know, more men smoke more frequently than women. That actually has evened out over the years. But it also could be that men could be working in factories, working in places where there's more environmental exposure. And there are also some claims that there may be a hormonal component to bladder cancer. In fact, there are estrogen receptors in the bladder, and that may have something to do with it. But in general, it's probably a differential environmental exposure.
Is there some? And when you say environmental, what types of things might be carcinogenic that would cause bladder cancer?
Chemical dyes. In fact, there was an old chemical dye industry that was in Connecticut years ago, and we have a higher rate of bladder cancer than most of the other states in the United States. So that may be one of the areas. And of course, if you smoke and have had chemical exposure, that's a double whammy, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, it could be water that's contaminated that might...
Well, it could be in the groundwater. That's always possible. It's not really been studied as I think, intensely as it should be.
Mm-hmm. Is there any connection? You mentioned the prostate. Is there any connection between bladder cancer and prostate cancer, anything like that?
There really isn't a etiologic connection, but usually 10% of patients have multiple tumors in the urinary tract, in other words, prostate and bladder cancer. It's about 10%. So again, since it's a more commonly diagnosed tumor in men, and of course men have a high rate of prostate, have prostates, and they can have prostate cancer. You know, 1 in 11 men will be diagnosed in the United States with prostate cancer. So it certainly makes sense that they can exist at the same time.
And is there an age component to this? Do the odds go up as you get older?
Yeah, the odds do go up as you get older. Usually 50s, 60s, the youngest patient I've seen that was 32 years old.
Wow. Okay. And a genealogic, any genetic component?
There are some hereditary syndromes that go along with bladder cancer, particularly Lynch syndrome. So those are ones that do go along with that.
All right, great. We're off to a good start here with Dr. Daniel Petrylak, a Smilo Cancer Hospital Care Center in Greenwich, medical oncologist. Our topic this morning on Spotlight of Medicine is bladder cancer. Get the facts. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Want an easy way to find a great doctor? Got a health issue you'd like to research? Looking for ways to be healthier and better informed about personal wellness? You'll find all this and more at the Greenwich Hospital website, www.greenhosp.org. This richly detailed website is loaded with valuable information. You'll find everything from directions and visiting hours to details about all the medical services and staff physicians, including doctor's credentials and office locations. You'll also find listings of community healthcare events, support groups, and much, much more. Whether you're planning a hospital visit or just want to be a more informed healthcare consumer, the place to start is Greenwich Hospital's website. Find it at www.greenhosp.org. That's www.greenhosp.org. Check it out today and get wise about health.
It's coming up on 9:12 here on 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com anywhere. I'm Tony Savino. This is Spotlight of Medicine. Next week on Spotlight, what's new in spinal fusion surgery? My guests, two guests, will be Dr. Amory Fiore, as well as a physical therapist, Annie Nardi, with the clinical programs director, spinal fusion surgery. What's new in that? That's next week on Spotlight on Medicine. And yes, we will get to Heart Month in February with further shows the weeks after that with cardiac rehab and also diabetes, heart, and stroke. But we're focusing on the bladder today with Dr. Daniel Petrylak, medical oncologist, Smilo Cancer Hospital Cancer Care Center in Greenwich. bladder cancer get the facts. And Dr. Petrylak, each case differs. What are some of the treatment options available for bladder cancer, and how have options changed in recent years?
Well, there are a whole variety of different treatments for bladder cancer, and it depends upon the stage, in other words, how extensive the tumor is. So as I mentioned before, if the tumor does not go into the muscle in the bladder, then the urologist will scrape that tumor out. He can put, he or she can put chemotherapy or immune therapy into the bladder to help prevent recurrence. About 40 to 50% of bladder cancers can be cured this way. However, of course, some of those patients become resistant to the immune therapy or resistant to the chemotherapy, and then it's indicated to take the bladder out. We're actually using different forms of immune therapy, which I'll talk about in a few minutes, that can take care of that resistant bladder cancer as well. If the tumor invades into the muscle, it's a completely different story. The bladder does need to come out at that point, but if a patient has good kidney function, if they have good hearing, we would generally give chemotherapy with a drug called cisplatinum as the basis prior to the surgery to basically clean up the disease that's outside of the bladder. About a third of patients will have that tumor go away completely with the chemotherapy. So that's been a standard practice for quite some time. But, of course, the worst case of bladder cancer is if it spreads outside. And at Yale, we've been in the forefront of developing new treatments for bladder cancer. So it's hard to believe, it's 10 years ago, we had started work with a drug called a checkpoint inhibitor, which basically blocks the ability of the cancer cell to shut the immune system down. Cancer cells are smart. They are almost like stealth bombers where you can't see them. The immune system can't see them. So what this drug does, it's called a checkpoint inhibitor. It basically breaks that cycle so that the immune system can see the bladder cancer and kill it. And actually, one of the first patients that was treated with a drug called atezolizumab was a resident from Stamford, Connecticut, who had a complete resolution of tumor for about 5 years. And he did incredibly well with that. Connecticut has led the way in bladder cancer treatment with some of these newer drugs. We've also been working with a drug called a smart bomb, a drug called enfortumab vedotin, which is a smart bomb. In other words, it delivers chemotherapy directly to the cancer cell. And we have been involved with that drug, started with that drug almost 10 years ago, actually more than that. And our studies have supported the FDA approval of this drug for resistant bladder cancer. We're now moving that drug earlier up in the stages of disease. So one of the things I'm very, very proud of is that we have both world-class oncologists as well as world-class surgeons at Yale, both at Greenwich Hospital and throughout the whole Yale system up to New Haven, Connecticut.
All right. The topic today is bladder cancer, and the old saying is timing is everything, and it comes a day after there was an article in the Post about Mets announcer, radio announcer Howie Rose, talking about his battle against bladder cancer. You're telling me you're a big Mets fan. I'm a big Mets fan. Tell us about his cancer, what you know about it, and the treatment for it.
Well, I don't know that much. I've read the article in the newspaper about that yesterday, and it clearly, I think this was the situation where his bladder was either resistant to the chemotherapy they were putting inside of the bladder, or it didn't sound like from the article he received chemotherapy, at least through the vein up front. But he had his bladder taken out. And, of course, when you hear that, it's very, very distressing to a patient, to their family. So there are ways of making new bladders from intestine, and that you can, both men and women can urinate normally through their urinary tract. It's called a neobladder. And it seems from the article that that's what Howie had. So that's actually a very, very important fact in quality of life, because clearly that is much better than having a bag outside of your where your bladder was before to urinate into, which you have to change, or catheterizing yourself on a regular basis. So that's certainly a huge improvement, and that's been a technique that's been around for quite some time.
Wow! So they took out his prostate also. Why was that?
Well, the urinary tract is not just the bladder. The lining goes into the what's called the prostatic urethra, which is where you urinate through. It also goes up to the kidneys through the ureters. So the tumors of the urinary tract, they look very similar under the microscope. Sometimes we accidentally refer to all of them as bladder cancer, but you can get what's called a urothelial cancer, which is the lining of the bladder. That urothelium goes down into the prostate area, actually goes out through the urethra, and also into the ureters, up into what's called the renal pelvis. So it's a large tract that lining goes through the whole urinary system.
All right, so with he's got a new bladder, and everything's been taken out, and so prognosis very good for him?
Well, it's hard to say. I don't know what these individual specifics of his case are, but of course I wish him the best and hope that he does well.
All right, and says that he'll be able to resume a normal lifestyle. So that's
absolutely
that's good news. Okay, all right. So now let's talk about what developments do you foresee in the medical in the field of medical oncology and immunotherapy with regard to bladder cancer?
Well, we're trying to refine the immunotherapy. Unfortunately, immunotherapy works in about 20% of patients. This is for the metastatic, the most advanced patients, and we can get dramatic responses in these patients, but. We're looking to improve that by combining immunotherapy with other agents. So we've been working with a combination of two drugs. I mentioned before the smart bomb and fortimab, and then another drug called pembrolizumab, which is one of the immune agents. And we're seeing some dramatic and remarkable responses in patients with these drugs. It used to be that if the tumor spread to the liver, then the prognosis was extremely poor. And so we've had several patients who have gone on either in fortimab as a single agent or in combination with the immune therapy. And I could think of one specific example of a woman who sees us, and she's still actively working. And she came to see me in 2014 when we started first using these drugs. And her cancer is completely gone right now. It was had spread to the liver. It was one of the most aggressive cancers that I've seen. Another gentleman who really, unfortunately, was really ill when he came to see us, had extensive spread to the liver, and we treated him with this combination, and he's now 7 years out with a complete tumor regression, working in his backyard, being very, very active, playing with his grandchildren. So these are the things I'm most proud of that we've led. We've led the way in, and fortimab is really a completely new concept in terms of drugs for this disease. It binds to a marker on the surface of the bladder cancer cell, and it's linked to a chemotherapy drug, and that drug is internalized by the cancer cell and it dies. So this way, there's much less toxicity that patients encounter, and there's a tremendous amount more of activity. So we've really helped to change that whole overall prognosis. It used to be that if the cancer got worse after the primary chemotherapy, you basically want to live 6 months. Now, as you hear from those examples from before, we have patients now that are living years and living well. Mm-hmm. So that I'm very, very proud that we've been involved and helped to lead that research.
All right, fantastic. Looks like some great progress made in the battle. We're going to take a break with Dr. Daniel Petrylak, medical oncologist, Smilow Cancer Hospital Cancer Care Center here in Greenwich. Spotlight of Medicine, Bladder Cancer, Get the Facts. Back with more after this on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
You make lots of important decisions for your family. But when it comes to health care, there's nothing more important than the doctors that you choose. So how do you make the right decision? Here's a tip. Check out the doctor's credentials and make sure they're from respected medical schools. And here's another tip. Look for a doctor who's affiliated with a truly fine hospital, like Greenwich Hospital. Greenwich Hospital is consistently rated in the top 1% nationwide for patient satisfaction. It has a broad array of specialties, from excellent women's services and breast care to pediatrics, orthopedics, extensive cancer care, and much more. Greenwich Hospital physicians meet the highest standards for healthcare excellence. For a referral to a Greenwich Hospital physician, call 203-863-3627. That's 203-863-3627. Greenwich Hospital, for the quality care you and your family deserve.
On 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com anywhere. I'm Tony Savino. This is Spotlight on Medicine. 9:30, Doug Steffen will take over, take you up to the Debbie Nagra Show at 11 o'clock this morning. Our topic on Spotlight this morning is bladder cancer. Get the facts with medical oncologist Dr. Daniel Petrylak. Or we've talked about developments in the field and lots of good ones, it sounds like. What about clinical trials and how do they benefit patients?
Well, clinical trials can bring new drugs to the patient, which they certainly don't have the ability to have access to. So this is how enfortumab has been developed and approved by the FDA. It goes from a phase one study where we're trying to establish dose, and we have good scientific rationale for going forth with it. And then we do a phase two trial, which helps us determine whether the drug is as active as we would to move it to a phase three study where it's compared against the standard of care. So we're actively developing new drugs. In fact, Yale itself has laboratories that are developing new drugs that we're beginning to put into patients. We're doing that both at Greenwich as well as at the Yale campus. But one other thing which I think is really, really important, the one area that we really need a lot of good work in is screening, because as opposed to prostate cancer, where we have PSA, we don't have a good blood marker for bladder cancer. As I mentioned before, blood in the urine is really the major starting point of the diagnostic workup. But we need more molecular markers to determine whether a patient has bladder cancer, how they're progressing on the disease, and then how to target therapy.
All right, so you need a better test or a test.
Well, not every patient reacts the same way, and there is a reason, there's a biological reason for that. So we're actively investigating that particular question. What are the markers of prognosis? How can we determine before a patient even gets treated whether they should go on a given drug or not? And that's one area that we're actively pursuing in research.
All right. What is the community value of Greenwich Hospital's affiliation with Yale New Haven Health and Smilow Cancer Hospital when it comes to this?
Well, I live in the area. I love the area. And what we're doing here is we're bringing the science down from Yale to Greenwich. All the new drugs that we're developing up at Yale, we're making available to the community. And this is how this is our give back to the community, because we have phenomenal physicians here, and they're using the trials that we're developing to help treat the patients in the area. So there's no need to go to other places. We have the drugs here, and we have the expertise here to take care of our patients.
So that was, I guess, my next question was that instead of having to travel to New Haven, it's right here in Greenwich, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And in fact, during the pandemic, we saw that there was a 25% increase in the overall number of patients, and they've stayed with us because they know that they're getting the best clinical care. That's the most important thing. But they're also equally important is they're getting the most current and best treatments based upon the science of the disease at this point.
Okay, and just from a general standpoint, as a patient, as someone, what are the things again to kind of watch out for that could lead to that you may have bladder cancer?
Blood in the urine. Frequent urinary tract infections, burning on urination, pain on urination. And of course, generally, if you have any sudden weight loss that you're not planning, that's something that you need to speak to your physician about.
All right. So, I mean, those are, I guess, general things you should go in for anyway. It could be something else, not bladder cancer, right?
It could be. But the important thing is you talking to your doctor and asking your doctor questions and then following up and going forth with the workup.
All right. And then finally, Dr. Petrylak, how can listeners contact you?
Well, they can contact me through Greenwich Hospital. There is a website for Greenwich Hospital as well as Smilow Cancer Center that has our number, and we certainly would be happy to help you in any way we can.
All right, fantastic. It's been interesting speaking with Dr. Daniel Petrylak. Dr. Petrylak, thanks very much for your time this morning, and let's go Mets, right?
Absolutely.
All right, take care.
Take care.
That's Dr. Daniel Petrylak, medical oncologist, Smilow Cancer Hospital Cancer Care Center in Greenwich, 877-925-3637, the number. That does it for another edition of Spotlight on Medicine here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. I'm Tony Savino. Stay tuned, or next week, I should say, on Spotlight, it's What's New in Spinal Fusion Surgery with Dr. Amory Fiore and physical therapist Annie Nardi. Stay tuned. Doug Steffen takes you up to the Debbie Nigro Show at 11 o'clock.